Brian. We're right on time.
Nice. Some should speak, and some were here at one. The Senate Revenue Committee is now open, and I think we'll begin with Senate Bill 221 and open a public hearing. Is it?
Yeah. Chairman Decker and committee members, with Senate Bill 221, this is one of the Department of Revenue's bills, and it's a taxpayer-friendly bill. And basically what it's trying to do is, in times of a state-declared emergencies or actions by the Internal Revenue Service, states have recognized that there could be a need to allow taxpayers additional time to address tax issues, as well as additional time to perform certain duties. So this act is really consistent with some provisions that were passed at the federal level in the Victims of Terrorism Tax Relief Act of 2001, which allowed the IRS authority to postpone certain deadlines and required actions for victims of the September 11th terrorist attacks, as well as other disasters occurring after September 11th. So basically what this bill is doing is allowing the Department of Revenue the discretion to extend the time period in which a taxpayer must make payments to the state if there is an action by the Internal Revenue Service or a state-declared emergency that impairs Oregon taxpayers' the ability to pay their taxes within the current law time frame. This has no revenue impact, and this, again, comes from the Department of Revenue.
Deborah?
Mr. Chairman, it's under accruing my estimated payments and act of terrorism.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Deborah Buchanan, Department of Revenue. Elizabeth did a very good job explaining what the bill is attempting to do. It's simply that when the Internal Revenue Service or a state emergency is declared, the director of the department can consider that and decide whether there needed to be an extension of time for Oregon taxpayers to take some required action. And if you think that is a good policy for the state to have, then that's what the bill reflects. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
Questions? Great job.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing. Open the work session on Senate Bill 221.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 221 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved Senate Bill 221 to the floor with a due pass. Any questions or comments? Any objections? So ordered for the consent agenda. Senator Ferrioli?
Mr. Chairman, is there any reason to put it on the consent agenda since that delays the bill's passage by 3 days?
Does it really?
Yes.
Yeah,
so if we want to move the bill in days, we should just move the bill to the floor.
Let's move it.
Well, except that, I mean, you have to look at it in terms of the practicality of having it not on the consent and having to have a discussion about it.
Mr. Chairman, I promise to make such a dull and somnambulistic presentation if I carry this bill that nobody would dream question or debate the bill.
I submit that that's redundant.
So ordered, although I don't know what I'm ordering. Open a hearing on Senate Bill 220.
Chairman Decker and committee members, with Senate Bill 220, this act is a recommendation for states from the Multi-State Tax Commission. It will provide consistency between states on the definition of resident funeral trust. And what this bill does is it establishes a definition of resident funeral trust. It makes other minor changes to the estate and trust definitions, and it directs the Department of Revenue to adopt rules to simplify the reporting of resident funeral trust, and applies to tax years on or after January 1st, 2004. And again, there is no revenue impact from this bill, and it was sponsored by the Department of Revenue.
Ms. Buchanan should have stayed in the front row.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Deborah Buchanan, Department of Revenue. Occasionally, individuals will prepay for funeral services or merchandise, They pay a funeral home for services to be received, hopefully in the far future. And those payments are held in trust by the funeral home, and they are generally invested and have earnings, interest earnings. Up until 1997, federal law required that the earnings on that trust be passed out to the beneficiaries and reported as taxable income by the people who were making the prepayments. In 1997, there was a change in federal law that now allows the trust to file a return and pay all of the tax on behalf of the beneficiaries at the federal level. So it cuts down on the paperwork for the trust and the administration for the Internal Revenue Service. Oregon law does not allow for that simplified filing at the state level, so this bill would put that into place. And then the uniformity recommendation by the Multi-State Tax Commission has to do with where the income is sourced. So if the funeral home is located in Oregon, it would be reporting all of that income to Oregon and it would be taxed by Oregon. And that's pretty much what the bill is trying to do. We look at it as taxpayer-friendly, and it was supported by the funeral home industry and a recommendation by the Multi-State Tax Commission. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm. Committee, any questions or comments?
Thank you.
Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 220 and open a work session.
Mr. Chairman, I move to Senate Bill 220 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved Senate Bill 220 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Any comments? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Corcoran, would you like to carry that bill?
I'd be honored. It makes me nervous, Mr. Chair, that I actually understood what she was saying.
He didn't miss a beat in his conversation. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 79.
Are you going to explain what these drafts are all about? Or are you just going to keep it some suspense?
Oh, that's right. We're going to do those.
You know, one of them is a revenue-raising measure, which we can't do over here.
No, the payroll isn't.
It isn't?
No.
Oh.
It's an authorization.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I was looking for summary.
Mr. Warner, what does this bill do?
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 79 comes to you from as part of the governor's budget. It's from the Economic Development Department. What it does is establishes a new fund, a production investment fund, Oregon Production Investment Fund. It appropriates up to $2 million in lottery funds to the Economic Development Department for the fund. The funds are to be used for reimbursement to film and television companies for 10% of production costs incurred in Oregon. The company must spend at least $1 million to be eligible for the subsidy. And payment to company cannot exceed $250,000 per production, and all payments must be verified by the Oregon Film and Video Office. Again, total expenditures cannot exceed $2 million of lottery fund for the 03-05 biennium. This is part of the Economic Development Department's strategy for stimulating the economy, and they have done a fair amount of analysis of it, and I know that they have contracted with Echo Northwest to do an analysis of the fiscal implications of the production investment fund. One other thing I might add for the committee is that we do have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means Committee on this bill.
Ms. Renard, and whoever you want to bring up with you.
Chairman Deckard and members of the committee, thank you for giving us the time to speak with you today. My name is Veronica Reinert. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Film and Video Office. We're a semi-independent state agency charged with growing the film and video industry in Oregon.
I also have with me Donna Jennison, who is the executive director of a trade association called the Oregon Media Production Association, Ron Mitchell, who sits on our Oregon Film and Video Board, and Charlie Carlson, who is the Oregon business agent for the International Alliance of Theatrical and Stage Employees. Also in the room today, Doris Pinwell from Oregon Economic and Community Development Department, if you have any questions from the department. We have some representatives from Brand Name Productions in Forest Grove, and also Debbie Williamson-Smith, who is the vice president of another trade association in the Eugene area called the Mid-Oregon Production Arts Network, and she also is our office's local liaison with the Convention and Visitors Association of Lane County. And I think I've gotten through all the association names at this point. As Oregon struggles to recover from the current recession, the film and video industry can offer some opportunities for creating more jobs quickly and bringing new income into the state, both on an immediate basis and on a long-term basis. As Paul mentioned, we did contract with Echo Northwest to do a couple of things. The first thing was an economic impact study of the entire industry statewide. It looked at the year 2000. That was the last year that we had full financial information for at the time we did the study. Their study found that the film and video industry generated $475 million in direct economic output in Oregon and created a total economic impact of $835 million, supporting 11,000 full-time equivalent jobs. Film and video jobs, average wage is 11% higher than average wages statewide. Other advantages of our industry are it's a clean, non-polluting industry. It provides tremendous promotional value for our state when films are released on the silver screen or on television screens. And money spent on productions is spread all throughout the community. You think about the hotels and restaurants that are the obvious things. But films do business with lumber yards and hardware stores, equipment rentals, office equipment and supplies, vehicle rentals, and all kinds of retail shops. When they do their set dressing, they go to antique stores and to furniture stores, and they buy lamps and couches, and they go to clothing stores for wardrobe. So the money is really spent all throughout the community. That, in turn, creates additional spending in our communities as those sectors that have seen increased income turn around and increase their spending. The other thing that the Echo Northwest study did was look at revenues that are generated back to the state and to local governments from film and video activity. Film and video activity generated $33 million in revenues to the state of Oregon in the year 2000 and $20 million to other local governments. Echo Northwest figured out that for each $1 million in out-of-state spending, production spending that we bring in, that generates $76,419 back to the state treasury. So what's the catch? Well, the catch is that it's becoming ever more competitive. Everybody else has figured out what a great industry this is. Oregon has the second oldest film commission in the nation, so we were one of the first. But everybody else has really been kind of passing us by on the way that they are investing in programs to encourage more production in their areas. Many offer incentives and even co-financing programs in the millions of dollars. When I started in the film office in 1991, we were competing with 150 film commissions around the world. Now there are 300 film commissions around the world. By and large, our biggest competitor is Vancouver, BC. Films started looking at the Vancouver market in the early mid-90s because of the exchange rate. And then Canada got smart, and they figured out that this was an industry that they wanted to grow. In 1998, at both the national level and the provincial level, they created production incentives in the form of rebates on labor costs and also tax credits for companies who set up sub-companies in Canada. Because they have looks that are very similar to Oregon, and it's really not much farther, Canada has captured a lot of the television production that used to go on in Oregon. And in fact, Canada, 70% of all U.S. television production now is done in Canada, so the chances are pretty good that what you're watching on TV was actually filmed in Canada. The show Pasadena, filmed in Canada. Texas Rangers, filmed in Canada. And the list goes on. It used to be mostly television that was affected by this, but in the last few years, increasingly, feature films have decided to go to more competitive locations, looking at the bottom dollar as well. Not only Canada, but Australia, Europe, South America, a lot of other countries have gotten much more competitive. For example, Saving Private Ryan, shot in Ireland because they gave them the army for free.
So we have seen hundreds of jobs and millions of dollars that normally would have come to Oregon basically flying overhead and going to Vancouver, B.C. Other states are getting more competitive, too. It's not just foreign countries. Most states that have a sales tax have a sales tax exemption for the film and video industry. That doesn't hurt us too much because we don't have a sales tax, so we can say ours is easier. But a lot of other states, including Minnesota, Hawaii, Louisiana, Missouri, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Virginia, and the territory of Puerto Rico, all offer larger incentive programs. In fact, Puerto Rico will rebate 40% of a production's spending. We have even been experiencing other markets who are trying to recruit our own indigenous Oregon companies to go and shoot in their areas. The result of this has been a loss of production that's hurting the infrastructure of our industry in Oregon. Our crew people are moving away to find jobs elsewhere. The support companies for the film and video industry are closing, and those that are still remaining are struggling. These are Oregonians who own businesses and make their living in this industry and, of course, pay their taxes in our state as well. The Oregon Production Investment Fund would help us turn this trend around. My job is to create jobs and to deliver income back to the state. And this is something that I need in order to be able to do that successfully. Senate Bill 79 would create hundreds of jobs and millions of dollars in spending on an immediate basis. In fact, I've had calls from two or three productions just over the last month wondering if we have any programs in place that might make us a viable location for them. And unfortunately, at this point, I have to tell them that we don't. Senate Bill 79 would make Oregon a more competitive market by offering productions a 10% rebate on their direct production-related expenses in Oregon. It would be capped at a rebate of $250,000 for features or movies of the week and $30,000 per episode for television series. A production has to spend at least $1 million in the state to qualify, and part of the reason we put that in the bill is that that guarantees that we are recruiting the types of production that hire a lot of people and will create a lot of jobs. The beauty of this program is that it's guaranteed. We don't give them any money until they have already hired and paid our crew and spent their money in our communities. It's an after the fact, after they have done their production, rebate on some of what they've spent here. If funded at $2 million, the Oregon Production Investment Fund would create at least $20 million of additional spending in our state. Given past spending patterns and the estimates from Echo Northwest, that is more likely to be in the $40 million range. Different economists have applied different multiplier rates to the film and video industry, anywhere from 2.3 to 2.8. With the more conservative number of 2.3, this would mean a total economic impact in Oregon of $46 million to $92 million. The return to the state general fund, as set out from the Echo Northwest figures, would be 1.53 to 1 for out-of-state feature films and television movies, and 2.06 to 1 for out-of-state TV series. Those returns become higher if any of those programs are actually generated by Oregon companies, because more of the profits and the infrastructure from an indigenous company would stay here in Oregon. Again, this would create also additional promotional value that could tie in very well with the Brand Oregon and tourism marketing efforts that are going on. Some examples of the way this has worked in the past. There was a newspaper article last year that said 200 people per month are going to visit Astoria to see the house where the Goonies filmed. And the Goonies filmed 18 years ago. We still get requests in our office, and the Tourism Commission still gets requests for people who want to see where Stand By Me shot. And the Japanese tourism business in Oregon was basically built on the promotion that was provided by a show that filmed in Oregon called From Oregon with Love and aired on Fuji TV in the late 80s and early 90s. This program has been recommended by the Interim Senate Special Committee on Economic and Job Stimulus. Film production incentives are also on the governor's economic development agenda, and Marty Brantley, director of OECD, also supports this program. We actually had the opportunity to kind of do a case study of this incentive idea last summer. We were trying to recruit a production called The Dust Factory, and Governor Kitzhaber approved SRF funds to offer an incentive to them. It worked out very well. The film was basically on the fence about where they were going to take their production. The director loved Oregon and had been thinking of Oregon all along. But the producer, who was more used to shooting in Los Angeles and Vancouver, was pushing for either one of those locations, both because of her comfort level and, of course, because of the budget reasons.
We were able to offer them a rebate of 10% on their first $1 million in spending as an incentive. Plus, we've set up a rebate program in Portland that uses tourism development funds to rebate parking fees based on hotel room nights used. It's an interesting concept, but it works. And so those two things together were enough to convince them that they could and should do their film in Oregon. They spent almost $2 million directly in our communities. They bought goods and services from at least 109 local vendors that we were able to identify, including truck, trailer, limo, and van rentals, grip lighting and camera equipment, telephones and pagers, office equipment and supplies, laundry services, medical services, and more than 1,000 hotel room nights. They hired 101 local crew union workers, 89 extras, several local actors, and also additional office assistants and production assistants that aren't in the union-covered positions. The return to the state treasury, according to the figure set out by Echo Northwest, will be $143,667 back in taxes and fee revenues. This program, as outlined in Senate Bill 79, can be the beginning of building unprecedented growth in our industry. Echo Northwest states it would create a critical mass of production volume that would foster a diverse set of Oregon businesses that would thrive and grow, which in turn would make Oregon an even more viable location for both out-of-state and indigenous productions. When the money's equal, Oregon is a preferred location. We have well-known, excellent, hardworking crew. We have a very deep talent pool for a market of our size. We, of course, have a vast diversity of location looks, and we're very close to L.A., which makes working here very convenient. Minnesota's had a rebate program for a few years now. Their program, which is called Snowbait, brought in $40 million in its first 2.5 years. Think what our program could do with the advantages we have. There's very much interest in Hollywood for Oregon to set up a program like this. We've talked to a number of producers who are waiting to see what happens, and in the packet I've submitted, we have letters from several who say that Oregon would be back on their list of considerations if we had a program like this in place. And as I mentioned, we've been contacted recently by two or three productions just in the past month where this incentive could really make the difference. One of those productions would spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 million here. We look at Canada as our main competition, but we should also look at them as a model because they have shown that this type of investment in the industry can really work. In 1991, Vancouver, BC did $176 million, Canadian dollars, of production. In the year 2001, that was $1.1 billion. It's a six-fold increase over the decade. Vancouver used to have enough crew basically to crew two productions at a time. Now they crew 30 or more productions at a time. And that amount of work and money coming in has enticed the private industry to invest also in sound stages and other support services, which in turn then makes Vancouver an even more viable market and spurs even further growth. Oregon needs this Oregon Production Investment Fund to bring in the work and bring in the dollars right away and to begin to build this industry into a vital, sustaining economic driver. It's a win-win for everyone. Direct infusion of outside dollars to our economy, jobs for our crew, opportunities for kids coming out of school now to stay and work here in the state in creative and challenging positions, revenues back to the state, and the rebuilding of an industry that has a vast potential for growth in the future. Thank you for your time and interest.
Ditto. You want to go next?
I don't know if I can follow that. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ron Mitchell, and I'm a primetime network producer living in Depot Bay. And I've chosen Oregon as the place I want to spend the rest of my life. I fell in love with it when I did a film up here a few years ago in St. Helens. I just believe that any kind of a bill that gets Oregon's back to work and off the unemployment rolls is a good bill. And I don't have too much more to say. I like to tell some stories, but people like me, we've always thought of ourselves as creative people. But recently, we've become businessmen, and our motivation has become more and more the bottom line. So we are looking towards states where we can get some help and some relief in the production costs. I personally refuse to work in in Canada, but that's a personal decision that I've made. And I prefer to do my movies in Oregon. So I may stay unemployed for a long time, but that would be okay too. I think if we, you know, if we want to compete, we've got to offer business something. I have talked to many people, as Veronica has, in Los Angeles, who would want to put us back on the list, who have projects that want to come here. I can only tell you, I can tell you a lot of stories, but one of the stories, which goes a little bit back in history, but is very pertinent. I was doing a series called Falcon Crest in 1983, 84, 85. In 1983, the Napa Valley, where we went of a summer to shoot our locations, the only people who really knew about Napa Valley were people who were in the wine, you know, in the wine drinking business or in the wine selling business. And it wasn't a tourist spot. It was for serious winos. And after the first season, we had to hire, I think there were 12 additional security men, security guards, to keep the tourists away from our sets because they were coming to see where Falcon Crest was, where Spring Mountain was. By the third season, they were seriously building their railroad, that little train that takes you around, and the place had, real estate values had grown. It became, in the mid-80s, the second highest tourist attraction in the United States next to Disneyland. And it was all because they were looking for Jane Wyman and for Falcon Crest. And I think this, you know, we don't necessarily want Jane Wyman here, but we certainly do want to offer guys like me some sort of incentive so that we can talk to the studio or the network and say, okay, look, you know, it's not about saving money as much as it is about being competitive, and I can get you the look you want in Oregon for the same price that you would have to pay in Vancouver or Utah. You know? And I think that's about all I have to say.
Just one question before we bring Senator Metzger up for the panel. We're losing one of our panelists. How are we able to get some of the past projects that we got without this program? There has been some level of activity in Oregon, probably not where we'd want it to be, but how were we able to have the projects that we did?
Well, I think Veronica and Donna have a better history of Oregon production than I do. I know that the film that I did was called Halloween Town, and it was for the Disney Channel, and we shot it in St. Helens. And at the time, the Disney Channel was looking for a place to save some money and a place that was that had a town square, and they did not know about Canada. It was kind of like snuck in under the radar, and when they hired me as a producer, I said, whoa, you know, there's a great place up here. They saved money through labor costs because the labor's cheaper, and they also saved money through location costs. There was no requirement for police as there is in Los Angeles. There are a lot of savings. Make no mistake, they saved money by coming here. But then they suddenly, after that, discovered they could save a lot more money by continuing north. Mm-hmm. Now, the big feature films are mostly location-driven. I would hope Veronica would agree with that. And will make most of their decisions based on the look because they're spending $20, $30, $40, $60 million. Mm-hmm. What we're primarily geared for is the multi-billion dollar market, $10 billion market. That's the mid-level spending, the $2 million, $3 million, $6 million, $8 million projects. And they are bottom-line driven, make no mistake about it. Donna and Veronica can answer it a lot better, I think.
You need to be on the mic if you're...
union.
One of the things to note about the productions that we have brought in over the last several years is that we have not done a television movie since 1999, and Canada put their incentives into place in 1998. And so it has had a very real effect. While we've been very aggressive about getting the shows that we can get that are more location-driven decisions, there's a lot of production that we've been losing. TNT, the Bill Porter story, some of you might have heard of that with William H. Macy in it, a story about a Portland man written originally by a University of Oregon graduate who now works at Paramount. They came and scouted Portland. They wanted to shoot in Portland. But the people who hold the purse strings at TNT said, nope, you're going to Canada, and that show shot in Canada. Mm. And it's just one example of what we experience day in, day out in our office.
Senator Farrelly.
Mr. Chairman,
you might want to stay.
The information I heard now, if I apprehended it correctly, $30 million in year 2000 in Oregon Productions without an incentive program.
In the year, 2000, I believe, was $28 million. 2001 was $34 million, but $26 million of that was from one single film, The Hunted. Last year we did, we haven't completely tallied up everything, but it's looking like about $16 million.
And that's without an incentive program, Mr. Chairman?
$2 million of the spending that we have for the year 2002 was the film The Dust Factory that we brought in with the incentive. We wouldn't have had any other major production through the summer in the Portland area without that one.
And the Canadians have an incentive program?
They have, at the national level, they have a labor cost rebate program and a tax credit. And at the provincial levels, it varies by province. But Vancouver, B.C. has also a labor cost rebate and a tax incentive.
22% or 11% national and 11% provincial.
And, Mr. Chairman, the Canadians, the relative size of the industry in Canada versus Oregon again?
In the beginning of this decade, it was about even. They now do 30 shows at a time in Vancouver. They do over $1 billion of production per year, while we're doing 15 to 30 million. And, again, it's a sign of what we could do if we did invest in this industry.
I had...
And, Mr. Chairman, I guess what I'm getting at is that it looks like the Canadians have the... potential, if we want to engage in a bidding war with them for incentives, to swallow us up. In other words, if we put $2 million into this program, what would stop the Canadians from putting in $6 million? In other words, we're going to be engaging in a bidding war with one of the industry giants on the West Coast. And their industry at the present time is $30 million on our side of the ledger versus $1 billion on their side. It doesn't look like good economics, Mr. Chairman.
May I address that? Echo Northwest also stated that if we were able to recapture just 3% of the production that's now going to Vancouver, we would double the amount of production in Oregon. So I don't think that we're thinking we're going to get all of that production that's going on in Vancouver, and frankly, I would even hesitate to have 30 shows at a time going on in Portland. To get a percentage of that back, to have a program that those producers who are interested in working in the United States, and there are many of them who would rather be working in the United States, especially since 9/11, to offer them something that gives them a reason to be able to say yes to that.
Other questions? Senator Metzger, do you want to... You're fine. Please.
We might run out of time, Senator Metzger. We're lucky.
Especially the way he carried the bill today. An hour and a half.
Yeah, we're an hour and a half late because of the bill he carried this morning. That's right. Yeah.
Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Charles Carlson. I'm a resident of Garden Home, Oregon. I have to take these off to read, but I'd rather look at you, so I'm not going to read that. She touched on most of my stuff anyway. I'm a local union rep, student mechanics 488. Canada used to be a part of our district, about the same size as our local. I have 400 members. They now have 4,300 members. We can't compete with their rebate or the exchange, but we can offset other expenditures that are keeping the productions from coming to Oregon. I think the main opposition to this bill would be from areas that look at Portland as being the beneficiary of it, that most of the people work on films, live in Portland, and the shows come to this area as opposed to other parts of the state. What this bill will do is offset the cost and open up other areas so that the companies will look at other parts of the state to film. They can't get everything they want in Portland. I write the contracts that most of these films work under. And when they take a person out, it's called a 60-mile rule. If a person's more than 60 miles from their house, they need housing and per diem to go to work. Our guys made a big cutback and only take $45 a day for housing and per diem. They bring a guy from L.A., it's $165 to $200. And we also froze our rates. Our rates are the same thing they were 20 years ago when I was on the hammer end of the industry. The bill, what it will do is level the playing field for the rest of Oregon. If a show goes to Portland, the production will be able to bring people from John Day or from Ashland and pay them $45 a day, and they can work in Portland. Same time, if a show goes out to Eugene or up to Bend, they can pay $45 a day and bring people from anywhere in the state. And that way, the locals are preferred for getting jobs because they're just as talented as the LA people, but the cost is lower. So it offers a bigger area of the state as open for filming, and the rebate money or incentive money takes away the cost for filming in Oregon. It's basically what it does.
Thank you. Yeah. Questions? Thank you, ma'am. Did you?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Donna Jennison. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Media Production Association, known as OMPA. We're at 222 Northwest 5th in Portland. We're a trade association whose mission is to promote the development, growth, and enhancement of the film, video, and multimedia industry. We're one of four such trade associations around the state. OMPA is the largest nonprofit film, video, and new media association in Oregon. We have over 300 members. The organization's in its 20th year. We work, as do our sister associations throughout the state, to offer a variety of services and benefits, professional development, networking. One of the most important things that we do for them is produce, and I brought it, is the Oregon Media Production Directory. This is the directory that is distributed to as many production decision makers as we can find, and the film office is our biggest distributor of this. Go to trade shows and send them in packets. And this is over 1,400 listings of the grips and the gaffers and the electricians and a huge section of support services, which a lot of people don't think about. It's the hotels and the dry cleaners and the trucking and the rental houses and all of those people that help make the production a success. I usually tell people when you're watching a movie, if you wait till the credits roll and you look at that long, long list of credits, well, that's our membership, and that's the people in Oregon. So what I'm here to do is to support Senate Bill 79 because it's about jobs and it's about Oregonians who are trying to raise their families, stay in Oregon, work in Oregon. And sometimes we forget about that. We forget that, you know, we talk about the incentive program, we talk about being competitive with Vancouver, and all of that's important. And what does it come down to? It comes down to jobs and people and working and raising children and sending them to our schools. So that's what I'm here for, is that as I sit in my job and watch the press releases roll by, all of many of the other states, many countries have this light bulb is going off that this is a great industry with a huge return, and that's why they're getting into it. It's not because of glamour, and it's not because it seems like a cool thing to do. It's because of the return on investment. It's a smart economic move. So we're just about small business. One other scenario that I draw is that if we were all in one building and we had one huge company, then we think that we would be noticed, but it's freelancers, it's small business, it's individuals. So we have come together, and if you think of us as one company, this is a company to save. We're losing people. We used to have three crew deep, not too many years back, and now we're 1.5 crew deep. We need to build that back up. And we were thrilled to see the Dust Factory come in last summer, and see that this incentive program works. And we're also thrilled to know that, as Veronica said, you don't spend any money until the money's already in Oregon. So we are hoping that you will support this. We've already talked about the challenges, and I had my, if we got just 3% of what Vancouver gets, we could double our activity. That's pretty impressive. And to show you that others are working on this, we, OMPA, worked very hard this last year with the Multnomah Washington County Regional Investment Board, and they have funded us for a one-stop permitting. So these are things that have been identified that could be help attract productions here and give us some competitive edge. So we need someone to permit. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Senator Farrell.
Mr. Chairman, the an issue was brought to my attention about 1.5 years ago about the lottery promotions and the production of lottery promotion materials in Oregon versus in other venues. And I just wondered if we'd made any progress in directing our own state agencies to hire our own production facilities and our own crews, directors, writers, producers, gaffers, the rest of the staff to produce lottery promotions rather than hiring those out of state.
We actually met with the lottery department and a group of people from the production industry, the Screen Actors Guild, and were you at that meeting?
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie was at that meeting, and I was at that meeting, and talked with them, and they actually showed us a chart that showed that the majority of production work that they had done was done in Oregon. There was, I don't remember the exact percentages, but I think maybe 10% was being shot outside of Oregon. There was a little bit more disparity on the talent that was being hired, which is what really Screen Actors Guild was concerned about, and we did get a pledge from them to work more closely with the unions to try to give Oregon actors first crack at those positions and also to direct their production company to do as much as possible of the work in Oregon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Ringo.
I apologize for being late.
We'll start again.
In his office.
And I've just had a chance to skim through the materials that you provided and the Eco Northwest study. And it, I think, lays out pretty well the economic impact of the films that come to Oregon and how it will cause job creation and bring revenue to our state. But is there some analysis that shows that this will that $250,000 will cause additional filmmakers to come to Oregon for projects, or might it be that really the location is the thing that's driving them? And yes, they're happy to take the extra money, but it's really not going to change their location decisions. Have you already discussed this?
Yeah, we talked earlier about a project we did this summer, actually, a show we were trying to recruit, and creatively, location-based, the director wanted to come to Oregon. The producer wanted to shoot in Los Angeles or Vancouver because she felt she could save money doing that. We were able to get a Strategic Reserve Fund grant through OECDD and the governor's office to offer an incentive of 10% rebate on their first $1 million of spending, and that was enough for them to say yes, they would do the film here instead of in Vancouver or in Los Angeles. Our office, on a daily basis, almost definitely on a weekly basis, fields phone calls from productions, and one of the first questions is, what are your incentives? Because we're looking at Minnesota, or you know, we're looking at Vancouver, or you know, wherever they might be looking, other markets that offer them incentives. And it's kind of a bit of the growing up of the industry, where incentives have been used in economic development in a lot of other industries for a long time, and the areas that wanted to get aggressive about building their film and video industry decided to employ those means.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Question for you or maybe Mr. Warner. Is this a a tax expenditure, and if there were a decision to repeal this down the road, would require a future flow?
It's this bill is an appropriation.
It's an appropriation.
Needs
so
that way. Okay. Unless they think of a more creative way, or those who are interested in this proposal think of a more creative way to finance it rather than going to waste meetings.
I am open to any and all ideas on that front.
We should talk to the special effects department, Mr. Chairman.
The LFO.
Busy with that one. Sorry.
As far as the Canadians,
that would be this bill.
Canadians adjusting theirs because of us doing it. We're not really on their radar screen in those regards, and they're more at a point of phasing some of those out than adding to it, to tell you the truth, because of financial problems they have. But the years ago, we tried to put a similar bill through, and it didn't go. In the meantime, New Mexico, Minnesota has, Louisiana has, and they're busy. They're doing back-to-back productions, something we could have been doing. And right now, we're playing catch-up instead of leading the pack like we were years ago.
So, you know, one thing that brings up is, if y'all could, and I'm not sure if this committee, if it ends up going to Ways and Means, that's an easier decision for this committee to make, I believe, mm-hmm. Having not pulled the members of the committee on this bill. But you'd probably want to provide that at some point of the effectiveness of New Mexico's program, and they did it, and here's the investment that they received, and you might want to just include that in your, if available, in your materials. Senator Metzger, did you want to say a few words?
Stay down.
A few of you guys can say. And
Senator Metzger, I want to warn you that Cottage Grove was the home of not only Animal House, but also Buster Keaton's The General.
Yeah.
So don't mess up on the movie stuff.
Cottage Grove is going to be high on the radar screen. Senator Deckert, members of this illustrious committee, Rick Metzger, Senate District 26, thanks for the opportunity to come and just talk for a moment about my very strong support for this bill. I don't know how you got in your committee. It should have started in Economic Development Committee, but I couldn't think of a better alternative committee to have to start. I had a large interest and a background in film and video. Started in 1982 when I gave Helen Hunt her big start and allowed her to co-star with me in Quarterback Princess, filmed in McMinnville, Oregon. And it led me to later become president of the Oregon Film and Video Foundation in the 1990s and working very closely with the Oregon Film and Video Office. We were the 501(c) version, trying to help and bring more production to Oregon. And I think nowadays, as we look at the economy of the state of Oregon, I think it's even more crystal clear as to not only economic growth, but things that make sense and things that we can measure. And I think Veronica has talked about it, and other members here, in the presentation materials that you have. I know of very few industries like film and video, when you talk about being shovel ready. I mean, they use the existing landscape. They don't plan like an Intel 3 or 5 years in advance. When they call Veronica, you make a deal, they're here in 2-3 weeks, and they're gone in 5 or 6 weeks, and they have spent the money. And with the incentive, I think you've already heard some of the reasons why that's critical to be competitive. But unlike, say, an incentive to build a fab plant, that's, you know, you're going to project jobs, you're going to project revenue over many, many years. The spending is immediate. The tax revenue is collected immediately through withdrawals or withholdings. The investment in the community and the purchasing is immediate. And so the incentive is paid after you've already collected on the front end all those different costs. So to me, it is just a tremendous deal. And I think with the idea, too, Senator Deckert and members, that Senator Farioli was talking about the connection with Canada. You know, Canada isn't going to get into a bidding war, you know, with Oregon, and that's not the point. And certainly you would not get into a bidding war. There are a lot of companies that want very much to film here, and it doesn't have to be exactly cheaper. They just got to be able to go to their board and say, you know, this makes reasonable sense, and, you know, the travel difference, you know, the local pool of available talent, you know, the comfort of filming in the United States also have a factor. You just can't be 30% off. You know, you get down there 15% or 10%. You know, a lot of companies would like to film in the state of Oregon, but they have to be somewhat prudent prudent and not make that a 30% differential. And I have seen over the last number of years, and I think Veronica was giving you the numbers are going down in Oregon in terms of investment because it is a competitive business. But, you know, there's no smokestacks with this business. They don't tear up the landscape. And one of the, another bill that you'll be getting, and we'll be getting also in economic development, in which the tourism industry is pushing to tax themselves to promote Oregon more. And it's amazing to have an industry, and you heard about the Falcon Crest example, and certainly that's, you know, on the upper end, but talk about free marketing through film and video, which you're not paying for marketing there, and the opportunity to showcase Oregon to others, you know, it adds on to our ability as a state that people not only want to shoot in and do productions, but also want to come and visit. So I think it's a strategic investment that you measure, that's immediate, it's not pie in the sky. It provides jobs. It provides economic stimulus on an ongoing basis. And it provides tax revenues in excess of the investment because the investment comes after the taxes are already collected. So I strongly support it. If I can talk to the Special Effects Department to help come up with some ways to make sure this happens. You know, Marty Brantley talked to our Economic Development Committee. This is an important issue with economic development, and they're very supportive of it. I believe this governor is also very supportive of it. I think our charge is to come up with the policy to make sure we have all kinds of economic development and then make the commitments in priority that we think are important.
Mr. Chair. I would just,
Senator Farr,
I would just think that if it was location, 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 that we could remake all the Three Stooges movies in Salem.
Well, now that Senator, that we are now that we are on video at all times, some might say that production is already underway.
It just so happens that we now have three state senators.
I'll be the straight man. I'll be curly.
Anything? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else on Senate Bill 79? Norris? No one? We will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 79. For the proponents of this, we'll give you some time. If not, given that if the votes are there to move it to Ways and Means, we'll give you some time before we schedule a work session. At any point, I think we could probably send you along two Ways and Means, but we'd like to give you some time to work on maybe alternative financing before we put you down there. Work session.
Open work session.
Open a work session.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
I'd move that LC draft 2471, 2896, and 2897 be introduced as committee bills.
Oh, Sarah.
There
has,
is now.
Here we go. Here's our quorum. Senator Starr has moved that LC 2897, 2896, and LC 2471 became a committee bill. Any discussion? Anyone opposed? So ordered.
Selfish and mean-spirited.
Should note that
totally
making it a committee bill does not indicate support or opposition to the bill. It simply denotes it as a committee bill. Thank you, committee. See you. I'll see you Tuesday. Senator Farrelly is chairing on Monday. We're adjourned.